Chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. I love when we read together because it just sounds so good, and there's something about that unity of speaking the word. So let's read together. Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. God bless you. Thank you so much. I want to spend a little bit of time today, and I will tell you, I've had four cups of coffee this morning. The last cup was some Dunkin' Donuts. So this is either going to be the fastest sermon you've ever heard or the most animated sermon you've ever seen, one or the other. I want to talk to you about remembering his words. You know, I'm at the age now that I've turned over 39, that I'm finding that my memory, sometimes I forget where things are, like my car keys, like my phone, like my car. The other day, Thursday morning, I was supposed to meet a client in Perry, and I was supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. And, of course, anytime I'm going to meet a prospective client, there's always that anticipation. So I've got that long drive to Perry to get there. And I left early, and it was still almost kind of dark. It was dark when I was getting ready. I get to his office. I'm taken into his office. I got to his place of business. I was brought into his office. I'm sitting there waiting on him to come in. I look down at my feet. I have on two different shoes. So sometimes memory is something you have to stay on top of. I heard about the couple that they were out by the lake one day, and there was a festival going on, and they were sitting there by the lake, and just across the other side of the lake were some food trucks, and the wife turned to her husband and she said, "You know, I'd like a strawberry ice cream with chocolate sprinkles." And he said, "I'll go get it for you." And she said, "You better write it down because you won't remember." He said, "Of course I'll remember it." She said, "I want a strawberry ice cream cone with chocolate sprinkles. Write it down." He said, "I don't need to write it down. I can remember that. You want a strawberry ice cream cone with chocolate sprinkles. I've got it. Please, I've got it." He left. He was gone several hours. Finally, he came back carrying a bag. She opened the bag and looked inside it. There was a cheeseburger and an order of fries. She looked at him and she said, "I knew you should have written it down. You forgot the pickles." We all struggle sometimes with memory. And from our passage of Scripture this morning, it says that apparently the disciples had a problem with their memory. It says in verse 8 of Luke 24 that when the angel said to them, "Do you remember when Jesus told you that he must die and he would rise on the third day and he would meet you in Galilee?" And then verse 8 says, and then they remembered his words. You know, Jesus had told his followers about his fate. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Matthew 26, verse 32, Jesus said to his disciples, "After I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Mark chapter 9, verse 9, as they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And then in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verse 19, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He had told them I'm going to rise again. After 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. But they didn't remember those words. My guess is, not only did they not remember those words, but obviously from the scripture, there was a whole lot that they did not remember. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah tells us about his birth. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. The scripture also told them about where he would be born. Micah chapter 2, verse 5, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. The Bible, the prophets of the Old Testament tell us when, or not only where he was born, but about his birth. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Old Testament would have told them about his ministry. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The first sermon the scripture ever records Jesus preaching, he quoted from them a passage from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has sent me, he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The Old Testament prophets even told them that one day Jesus would come into the city of Jerusalem and be welcomed there. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The psalmist even told them that he would be betrayed. Psalm 41, verse 9, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, will turn against me. The prophets and the psalmist would have told them how Jesus would die. Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The psalmist told them how Jesus would die. Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands, my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Psalm 69, verses 9, beginning in verse 19. You know my reproach, my shame, my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The prophet Isaiah told in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The prophets even told how Jesus would be buried. Isaiah 53, verse 9. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich is in death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. If the disciples had listened while they were in Sabbath school and being taught the Old Testament, and would have heard the voice of the prophets and the voice of the psalmist, they would have known that even though Jesus died on the cross and was laid in the tomb, and that tomb was sealed, they would have known that this is not the end, because all this is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And if all of these prophecies have been fulfilled, then the last one is going to be fulfilled, that on the third day he will rise again. But they forgot his words. They didn't remember the Old Testament prophets. They didn't remember what the psalmist had said to them. They didn't remember that Jesus had told them repeatedly, "I am going to die in Jerusalem, but don't be afraid, because in 3 days I'll rise again." All that was forgotten by them, until the angel said to them, "Don't you remember that he told you that he must die, but on the third day he would rise again and he would see you in Galilee?" We forget. We forget what the scripture says, just like the disciples. We forget where we lay our car keys. You're probably like me. I can put my phone down in the house, forget where it is. I have to yell at Sherry and say, "Call me on the phone." She knows why. Because I don't know where my phone is, but I'll hear that Seminole War chant and find it. We forget. But God never forgets. God never forgets. He never forgets his promises. He never forgets his word. He never forgets what he has said in his word. God never forgets. And it is portrayed so beautifully in the book of Genesis, where God, when Abraham is 75 years old and Sarah is 65, God gives them a promise. "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a baby." They wait, they wait, they wait, they wait. They fall, they struggle in their belief, they fail. But something in them keeps holding on to that. They choose to not forget. And even though it took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled, and even though Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born, I love what the book of Genesis says in chapter 21. It begins in verse 1 with these words, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would happen." I love that first part. The Lord kept his word. God does not forget his word. God does not forget his promises. We struggle. We struggle with pain and sorrow and grief and questions. We struggle with the how are you going to do it, and when are you going to do it, and where are you going to do it, and how is it going to happen. We struggle with something that we think this must be it, and we take a shortcut. But God is still faithful to his word. God still keeps his word. If you know the story of Abraham and Sarah, you know they struggled mightily with this promise. In fact, Sarah became so frustrated that she finally said to Abraham, "I think I know what God's plan is. You marry my Egyptian handmaiden Hagar and have a child by her. That must be what God is trying to tell us." It wasn't what God was trying to tell them. But God did not say to them, you blew it. Sorry, you had your opportunity. That's it. Game over. No, it says the Lord kept his word. God's fulfillment of his word, God's fulfillment of his promises is not based on our faithfulness. It's not based upon how well we do. God did not say to his son Jesus, son, I'm sorry, they forgot that you were going to rise again, so we'll just forget it. No, God kept his word. And God keeps his word to you and I. Easter is a time in which we celebrate new beginnings. We celebrate new life. We celebrate that everything is starting over again. So let me say this to you. This is a great time for you and I to begin to once again remember his words, what God has said in his word, what he has promised us in his word. Maybe what he has promised you. Psalm 34, verse 17. Here's a good promise to remember. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Here's a good word. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's a good word to remember, Psalm 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Here's a good word to remember, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally and will not hold back. Here's a good word for us to remember. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another good word to remember, what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want to remember Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Here's another one that I want to remember. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's another good one to remember from the book of Ephesians. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid of? And here's another one, Psalm 86, verse 5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call upon you. God doesn't forget. God does not forget the promises of his word, and God does not forget the promises that he has spoken to you. You say, well, Rodney, right now, it all looks black. It all looks bleak. It all looks like there's no way out. It all looks like closed doors. This is a good time then for you to begin to remember the word of the Lord. What did God say? What's the promise that I can hold on to this morning? When my sons were little, my oldest son will soon be 43. My youngest son will soon be 40. I know, they were conceived when I was in elementary school. But when they were little, my oldest, I would tuck Sean and Ryan in at night. Sean is my oldest, and Sean was the cuddler. Ryan was the good night, leave me alone, I'm going to sleep. But Sean was the cuddler. So there would be times that I would tuck Sean in. I tuck him in first because he was the oldest, and he would say, Daddy, come back and lay down with me. And I'd get Ryan tucked in. Ryan never said that. So I'd go crawl in bed with Sean, and I'd be laying there with him, and he would oftentimes do this when he knew we were getting ready to go somewhere. And he would say, Daddy, how long before, he couldn't say vacation, how long before we go on vacation? And I'd say, Sean, 3 weeks. Daddy, how many days is that? It's 21 days. And every day, Daddy, how many days? It's 20. And we'd count them down, all the way down to the last day. Daddy, how many days before we go on vacation? Sean, we're going tomorrow on vacation. And that night would be the night in which he would not want to go to sleep. So I would tuck him in and then come back and get in bed with him, and he'd turn and face me. And, you know, when your children are 4 and 5 years old and you're trying to teach them to brush their teeth at night, and sometimes they don't, and you realize they haven't because they've turned their face and they're right here. Daddy, how many more days before we go on vacation? Sean, we're going tomorrow. And he would always save this question to the last day. Daddy, what are we going to do? And I'd start telling him, oh, Sean, we're going to get up in the morning, and we're going to eat breakfast, and then we're going to go to the airport, and we're going to get on a plane, and you're going to sit by the window, and then we're going to go here, and then we're going to do this. And I knew while I'm telling him, this kid is not going to sleep all night, you know. I thought about that this week because his little boy turned 8 years old yesterday, and I thought yesterday while I was thinking about Preston's birthday, I wonder if he says to my son, Daddy, what are we going to do? When are we going to go? And here's what hit me in my spirit. That maybe there are times during my prayer time that I just need to say, Daddy, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this problem? What are we going to do about my grandchild? What are we going to do about my marriage? What are we going to do about my finances? What are we going to do about my job? What are we going to do about this situation and that situation? And then to just be able to go to sleep because you know, just like Sean could go to sleep because he didn't have to worry about, are we going, because I told him we're going. He remembered every day we're going. The countdown is on, but we're going. And I think our Heavenly Father would be honored if we could say to Him, Father, I remember Your Word says that You're my healer. I remember Your Word says that You'll never leave me, You'll never forsake me. I remember Your Word says that when I am weak, You are strong. I remember Your Word says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. I remember that Your Word says that no temptation will overtake me, but You'll always provide a way of escape. I remember, Lord. I remember, Daddy. And recall what the writer of Genesis said, the Lord remembered His Word. So I want to encourage you to remember His words. Let's don't be like the disciples and wait until we're in a situation of pain or sorrow or question, and then all of a sudden it dawned on us, oh yeah, there's something in the Bible about this. Oh, now's the time for us to say, Lord, I remember Your Word. I remember Your Word. I remember Your Word. I've got 3 minutes. When Sherry and I got married, we fully believed that God had a place for us to minister somewhere. We just didn't know where. And so we begin to pray, Lord, you have a place, so prepare a place for us and prepare us for a place. We prayed that every morning, year after year after year. We had no idea that God was preparing this place for us and was preparing us for this place. But I can tell you today, the Lord remembers His word. Don't forget. Don't forget. The Lord remembers His words. Father, I thank you today that you never forget. And Lord, we may be holding onto a promise, and the doctor or our checkbook or our accountant or our financial team or our situation seems to say it's over, it's done with, it's all dead. There's no hope. There's no way out. Lord, I'm sure that's how the disciples felt. I'm sure that went through the mind of the women when they went to the tomb. But there they remembered your words. And I pray today, Father, that you would stir up our memory, our spiritual memory, so that we once again would remember your words, the promises you've given us, the assurances that you've made to us, the declaratory statements that you have spoken to us of what you will do. Lord, today, we choose to remember your words. And we declare today, Father, that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it goes out, it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that which you have set out for it to do. So thank you, Father, that you remember your word. And Lord, we choose today, in spite of our situation, in the very face of our circumstances, we choose to remember your words. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.